Welcome to Pep and Chad with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. This is the podcast where I call up friends and we talk about touring, and sometimes we talk about snacks, and generally have a nice time. And I'm very grateful that I've had the opportunity to make this podcast from the comfort and safety of my own home, and to have the excuse to reach out to friends that, you know, I would have crossed paths with at different festivals or tours or whatever, but we really haven't yet. So thank you, dear listener, for listening. Because I don't know if we would have had a second season if we didn't have folks listening. And I'd also like to thank the Creative City Center for making this podcast happen, you know. Really appreciate the love and support of this podcast. Okay, just wanted to throw some feelings out there before we get into today's episode. I reconnected with Danny Oliver. Danny and I, as you will find out in this conversation, went to Folk Alliance together in 2015. We have played shows over the years together, and this was a really nice chance to connect. Danny's certainly one of those people that I would have like seen on the road, but just, you know, why don't I call my friends? Why don't I call people up and just say, hello, how are you? Why do I need a podcast in order to do that? I don't know, but I'm not about to unpack that right now. You're going to hear this conversation with Danny Oliver and I, where we talk about summer camp. We talk about the state of the world. We talk about dogs. We talk a lot about dogs. I hope you enjoy it. Today's guest is Danny Oliver. Here we are, Danny Oliver. We're talking.
It's fully happening.
Finally.
There's no stopping it.
You know, yeah. I've been doing this podcast for about a year, and I've never had such an issue getting on the phone with somebody.
Well, here's the thing about my spam filter and you sending me stuff to my live account is you got filtered. You got filtered. There's no nice way to say it.
I've had that happen to me though too. If it's like a new email just sending me a Zoom link, I've had that also go to my spam. So you know what? I'm just giving you a hard time, and that's not fair.
Just any new email. I'll go in there and I'll look like half a year back, and it'll be like, hey, we have this awesome opportunity for you. It pays $15,000. Come on out and do it. And I'll be like, oh, what a missed opportunity. I spam filtered that.
Wow.
That's never happened.
Oh, well, thanks for taking the time to chat with me. I know you got a dog during the pandemic. Like, you got a dog like last year, right?
Yeah. He's going to be a year old December 10th.
Oh, and what's his name again?
His name is Philip.
Philip, can we see him? I know this is an audio podcast, but full disclosure, dear listener, Danny wanted to show me Philip over the Zoom prior to us starting to record. And I said, no, let's wait and get that live reaction. Hi, baby. Oh,
hey,
look at you. Oh, look at you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're so sweet. Oh, you're so sweet.
He is the sweetest guy.
I feel like there's no love. Oh, Philip.
Oh.
Phil. He was
one second. I'm watching. I'm watching dogs right now.
Oh, okay.
There we go. One sec. I'll try and get it so they don't bark and stuff.
How many dogs do you have in your house right now?
I have two dogs in my house. The other one's my parents watching.
Aw.
Yeah.
And what kind of dog is Phil, for starters?
Phil is an Irish setter.
Aw.
Yeah, Phil is an Irish setter. He's got a lot of energy, but he's a very sweet guy. And then my parents' dog is she's an 11-year-old basset hound, so she's like not into playing.
Aw.
Yeah, it was so funny because Phil, when he was growing up, only played with Lizzie for the first 3 months of his life. And Lizzie's like a low to the ground, you know, basset hound. And Phil is this tall, skinny Irish setter. And so he still hasn't really properly learned how to wrestle because Lizzie's just already at wrestling height. So it doesn't, you know? Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. I feel like there is no love stronger than the love between a Scorpio and their dog.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure about the Scorpio thing, but it might just be might just be a man and his dog, or a woman and her dog, you know,
a person and their dog,
or they and them and their dog, you know. There's just a bond that happens between dogs and humans that's unique and awesome.
Yeah. No, I just, yep. Yeah. And I agree. All I'm saying is I just know some Scorpios who are just dang old head over heels. And when you got a dog, I thought, okay, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew it was going to be like just a good love story for you. That's sweet. That's sweet.
Yeah. Well, I've always wanted a dog. And I could never have one because I've, you know, been on the road so much. So I, you know, pandemic got me a dog.
Yeah. Sick. Do you think, like, does Phil like to travel? Do you ever like go cruising around with Phil, or like, what do you think that's going to look like when you resume some kind of touring, or do you want a tour? Like, what's your,
I don't know what I'll be doing. I set up a little home studio, so I've got, you know, some stuff to record at home. Obviously, the pandemic hits at a pretty inopportune time. It was like, you know, 5 months through an album cycle. And so,
oh, yeah.
And so now, you know, it's like, if I tour, I've got to record another album. And I didn't, you know, you know, I spent a ton of money on merch just as everything shut down. So I've got, you know, like 750 vinyl and, you know, a ton of shirts and all this other stuff kicking around. And no new album, because that costs, you know,
yeah,
a lot of money, as you know. It's just it's an expensive thing. So it would be like starting over again if I wanted to do it properly. And so I think I'm just gonna work on, you know, honing my skills here at home, just doing some Pro Tools stuff and getting all good and greasy with that, and just kind of diving back into it for the love of it and for the fun of it, because the last 4 or so years has been just like nonstop on the road, never doing anything else, barely having time to write and do the things that I love doing about it. Right? I mean, I love being on stage, but yeah, I don't know. And I started a company out here that sterilizes horse poop, so that's good.
What?
Yeah, we make organic substrates and we sell them, so I've been doing that.
Okay. So, sorry, this has totally caught me off guard. I, like, oh, gosh, you talk about it on Facebook, because I got rid of my personal Facebook, like, almost, well, like, over a year, like, about a year ago now. And so I don't know anything about anybody anymore. I had no idea that you were sterilizing horse poop.
Yeah, no, I don't talk about it really anywhere. It's just something I'm doing.
Oh, so you're saying this is an exclusive?
No, people know, obviously, but well, okay. I just
wanted to feel special.
But I'm sorry. You know how Scorpios are, right? There's a couple times where I've had conversations with people and they'd be like, what's your sign? I'd be like, Scorpio. And they'd be like, oh, I knew we weren't going to get along.
Oh, that's not nice. And that's not fair. And, that's too bad. What day is your birthday again, Danny?
November 9th.
Right. Yeah. You're close to me.
Very close. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
I still have that book you gave me in my car.
Was it which one can you say it on air what was called?
Was it the little Scorpio?
Oh, it was the little
book. It's a small book.
Oh, right.
The book of Scorpio.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. Those were the days. I feel like I spent so much of like my early 20s just like gifting people books and crystals, you know? And multivitamins. Remember when we were at Folk Alliance and I had those chewy vitamins, Slew Chews, John Nair called them, because they kind of smelt funny or whatever.
Yeah, they weren't good smelling.
Do you want to talk about that? Do you remember, what year was that? Folk Alliance in like 2016 or 2015? It was like...
2015.
Was it 2015?
Yeah. In Kansas City. What a whirlwind that was.
How many of us had to stay in that one hotel room to keep costs down? I gotta bring the listener up to speed. To keep costs down, a bunch of us, shared a hotel room because we're all showcasing at the Breakout West Room at Folk Alliance in 2015. And I swear it was like, it was you, there was John Nair, Nick Faye.
Nick, yeah.
Who else? There was somebody else, though, too, because there was a cot as well in the room.
Yeah. Oh, man. I can't recall, because a lot of us, I don't think, actually made it back to the room on any given night. So, yeah, those Folk Alliance things were a blast.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's just that they took two floors of a hotel room and they just turned it into a party for musicians. So yeah. Any given room was just a jam after all the showcases were done. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I tried my best to sleep during that. Like, I do think I eventually did get back to the hotel room every night, because I was trying to like sleep enough and to eat my Slew Chew vitamins. And I remember handing out these vitamins.
Yeah, you were.
And that's where I got like the nick, like that's where I became like
mom.
Mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is gonna bother me though. I don't know who the fifth person was in that hotel room. If it ever crosses your mind, just like send me a note.
I will. It could have been Kiefer. Kiefer was in our room quite a bit.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I thought he had his own room though too.
So do I.
Yeah.
but he was like, I'm pretty sure he stayed in our room at least once.
I should call Nick Faye and put him on speakerphone and be like, who stayed in that hotel room?
Nick would absolutely know.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe I should do that. Maybe I'll do that at our commercial break, because I think Nick has like a, I think he has a day job, so he might not be able to answer his phone at any given time. But we could certainly try.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's like 4 o'clock, so another little bit. He might be, you know, give him till 4:30. That's like day job type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. I remember
if he was a musician, he'd easily be able to answer. If he was full time, he'd be like, oh yeah, I'm not doing anything right now.
Yeah. He'd be like, I just woke up. No, it's like I had two shows this weekend and I was up till 4 AM both nights, and I was like, I don't know how I used to do this all the time. Like, I'm still like, this was like 3 days after, 4 days after. I'm still tired.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just kinda how it goes.
Are we both in our 30s now, Danny?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 32. I just turned 32.
I just turned 32 as well. Gosh, we're both 89.
Yeah. Yeah. 89. 89 baby.
Where have the years gone?
They've melted away. And not like a nice psychedelic melting. It's been like an acidic, chalky scraping. You know, they're just gone now. I'm sorry, that's not very uplifting. This is Pep and Chad. We need to bring things up. Things are good.
this is like what is this gonna be like for the listener? We're just like, don't remember. We're just like collective, like together reminiscing but not really remembering any details, and then just talking about how the years have just like corroded by.
you started a podcast to talk to musicians and you expect them to remember things that happened?
No. Well, yeah, sometimes, but yeah, I know.
Oh, sure, yeah, I like know. Really major things, but who the fifth person in your room was, I don't know about that.
I just remember though it being like really fun because it was like summer camp, you know, like it was just like a big slumber party type thing. I don't know, I didn't really go to slumber parties as a kid, but it's how I imagined they were, you know. It was nice.
Totally. That was definitely a summer camp vibe there.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, for
except
sure
except I didn't cry and wish that my parents would be coming to get me from Camp Capernaum. I didn't actually do well at summer camp, so I shouldn't have said that. I should have just said slumber party. No, I got very homesick. And I remember, like, I had the song, like, One Tin Soldier stuck in my head. I was probably, like, 8 or 9 or something. And, like, my dad really loved the song One Tin Soldier. So I just remember, like, being a little kid, looking out at the water, seeing these boats, and, like, wishing my family was on one of those boats to come get me. And, like, I had One Tin Soldier playing in my head.
That's such a sad memory.
I did not like camp, but you know, I grew up on the farm in like a village, like went to school in a village. So all the kids that were from like Moose Jaw, and then I also went to Camp Shagabek, which was like near in Cypress Hills. So like all the kids that went to Swift Current, all these like city kids, like already had their friend groups, right? So you would like go to these camps that had like all these friends already. They already had their groups, and you'd be like the odd little kid out that's like crying, you know, right? Did this ever happen?
Yeah. We need to rewind a bit. Did you say Camp Shake and Bake? Is it like a chicken camp? What kind of camp was this?
No, Camp Shagabek. I think it was like a Bible camp.
You still didn't answer. You say it slowly. You just Camp Shake and Bake again.
No. Camp Shagabek. Oh, no, I lost you. Oh, there you are. You're back now.
Yeah,
Camp Shagabek in Cypress Hills. And there was also Camp Capernaum in Moose Jaw. Did you ever go to summer camp?
Yeah, I did. I went to Dallas Valley Ranch Camp. And I had fun. Yeah, I had fun. It was good. I mean, I think people, I'm trying to find a way to word this so that it's not offensive. So I'm just going to avoid it. Camp was fun.
I just feel like you probably made friends easily though.
Yeah, friends kind of came, and and we had friendships.
Yeah.
No lasting friendships from camp, though. Like, I never met my best bud at camp or anything. Mm. Which I find a lot of people do have that at summer camps. They find, like, their best homies at summer camps. I've heard a lot of people that are like, oh, yeah, my best friend we met at summer camp. And it's like, well, I'd have never experienced that type of friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do have best friends, of course, but, like, not from summer camp.
Where did you meet your best friends?
Let's see. I met Mike in high school, and my buddy Jesse I met. We were at a party, and he's just a weird guy, so we got along. Just all kind of all over the place. A lot of friends from school, a lot of friends from different parties, stuff like that. Road buddies, of course. But those are like different than best friends, you know, because you only really see them on the road or when you're traveling through their city or when you're, you know, whatever. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of all over the place.
So, oh my gosh, what is that sound? Is that Phil?
That's my dog. That's my dog needing attention. I put him out of the room, so I'm.
Hi, Phil. You know what?
Hey, buddy.
Actually, if you, oh gosh, if you do swear, like what we have to do is we have to like we will duck out your swear and then add Shiloh's bark. So this is what I'm trying to say is this is a very dog friendly podcast.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not gonna swear.
But if Phil does speak, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, we're not like, ah. Oh, gosh, he's so sweet. Dear listener, you need to go check out Danny Oliver's Instagram to see Phil. Oh, and Phil just put his leg on your arm.
Yeah, it's because he wants a ton of attention.
Oh, gosh, that's so sweet. So... speaking of best friends, if you were at, so if 32-year-old Danny Oliver is at a party and you're like, I think I could be best friends with that person, how would you approach that person and how would you create a best friendship?
Oh, I don't know. here's the thing. I don't drink much anymore, Megan.
Yeah.
So a lot of the things that I would probably have done, I wouldn't do now. And one of them is be at a party.
Oh,
so yeah. Just because I don't have the patience for that.
What
anymore.
If you, any kind of social gathering? Are you ever in social a situation gathering? Where
like, let's say we're at a okay. Halloween party is a good one. That would just pass, right? You know?
Yeah.
It's a Halloween party.
Yeah.
Oh, I, or just something. Yeah. Social gathering. I don't know. A humor is a pretty big equalizer for me. I like humor, as you know. You like humor too. I know this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just have an actual real conversation with somebody. And if you laugh and you're having fun, then that means you'd probably be friends.
Aw. Well.
I think. You know?
Yeah. Well, that just sounds, nice and doable. There you go. So.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know the Danny Oliver Making Friends 101.
The 101. Oh, like I don't have a class on it. Like I said, you know, it just comes naturally, Megan. So,
well, no, that you gave good advice. You said just have a nice, real conversation and add some jokes.
Yeah, exactly. That's all you need.
Huh.
Like that's it. Maybe talk about some things that you like, and maybe they like them too. Like you're like, oh, I can't. Can't get enough cheese. And they're like, what's your favorite? And then you talk about your favorite cheese. Whatever.
What is your favorite cheese?
My favorite cheese? I like smoked cheddar.
Oh, smoked cheddar. My parents have been smoking a lot of cheese lately. And I just ate some like smoked jalapeno Havarti like right before we got on this call.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But yeah. my absolute favorite cheese was like, I really love an extra, extra, extra old white cheddar. And I also love blue cheese. I love blue cheese.
Ooh, that's weird. I can't agree with you there, but that's okay. We don't have to agree on that. I've just never been a blue cheese fan, but I admire your tenacity for flavors that are sharp on your palate.
Do you ever watch Hell's Kitchen?
I do. I watch the British one.
Oh, I think I wonder if you and Gordon Ramsay have the same birthday.
November 9th? Why don't we look that up? Yeah. We can look that up right now.
Yeah. I can search that if you 'cause you're using your phone for the
No, I'm in front of my computer right now. Oh. So I'm good. Oh,
okay. Sorry.
Nobody here, buddy. Oh my goodness.
Gordon Ramsay's birthday is actually November 8th.
Oh.
I know.
One day off.
I'm November 6th. Joni Mitchell, I'm pretty sure, is November 7th. Gordon Ramsay's November 8th. Danny Oliver's November 9th.
That's that completes.
That's the old gang.
The whole gang right there. That's everybody. that's all of us.
I'm gonna just double check that because I don't want to spread misinformation. Joni Mitchell, you're the 7th. Yeah, I gotta stop doubting myself. And then Fred Penner is also November 6th. I found out this year.
Fred Penner is a good dude.
I've never met him. Have you met him?
I have.
Oh, lucky.
I have. There was a festival in Moncton, I believe. Yeah.
I
went up to Moncton.
What was your interaction like? Did you have like a real conversation and tell a few jokes and you knew you could be best friends?
No, but we did chat and he just seems like a really nice guy. He's just a dude. He's just really just a dude. I mean, as most people you meet, they're just people. You just, you know, yeah. Regardless of your like, you know, regardless of your, you know, negligible interactions with them beforehand and your preconceived notions of who they might be because of their art or whatever, people are just people, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, not everybody like crawls through a log weekly to entertain thousands and thousands of children, though.
No, that's very true. That's very true. But for some reason, you just didn't get the vibe that, you know, he was better than you because of it.
Well, that's fair. That's nice. That's nice. Yeah. I realized, like, I saw like so many people like posting really nice pictures and stories of him on his birthday, our birthday, dare I say.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I've never met Fred Penner. But now that I know we have the same birthday, that's like, that's my icebreaker. I also think I have the same birthday as the guy, the lead guy from Chilliwack. But, and I did see him in real life, but I didn't have the courage to say hello. It was recent. No. And I just like meeting folks right now during COVID, like talking to people sometimes, like when it's loud and you're all wearing masks is hard to do.
It's not easy. No.
You know what no. I mean?
Yeah. Now, do you know these people's birthdays because of astrology?
Okay. So
do you like immediately meet somebody and then you're like, oh, I jive with this person. So you have to look up their birthday to see what their sign is because you didn't ask them in person.
No. I looked up Chilliwack, and then I looked up Bill Henderson, the lead singer of Chilliwack, because we were playing Chesterfest in September and Chilliwack, they were also playing. And so I just like Googled him because I was like, I think I took a taxi with him once. And I think I did. But then I just, yeah, I Googled him and I realized, oh, we have the same birthday. And then Fred Penner, I just know we have the same birthday because of Instagram. Gordon Ramsay, I absolutely looked up because I wanted to know if he was a Scorpio or not, because he is angry.
Yeah, but he's fair.
He's intense.
He is. Yeah, he's passionate.
That's the word. That's like the Scorpio cliche. We're passionate.
The Scorpio
folks.
Word. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the passionate. That's the word. We need to take a short break.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
You are listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center. Today's guest is Danny Oliver. We are back. We're back.
Hello.
We were just, during the break, we were just talking about how much we love Eric Taylor and went down a little bit of memory lane about this houseboat. It wasn't a houseboat concert. It was like
a boat house
concert that Eric put on, and he performed on Vancouver Island in 2019. And like, that does seem like a lifetime ago, but it also just seems like last year. I don't know how to explain it. I don't understand what time is, but let's not get into that because Danny Oliver has already explained to us that time. How did you describe it before? It's okay.
Time is a corrosive thing. Yeah. I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Putting it's linear and cyclical.
I mean, if you want to get into the quantum, the quantum definition of time, it's a little more confusing, and I can't explain it to you because I'm not an astrophysicist. I don't know. So really, I can't explain anything.
Well. just a long sigh. Well, can you explain how you get your hair to have that just like really good wave? Do you wash your hair?
Yeah, I wash it, but I condition it. Like, I don't shampoo it all the time. It's also very long right now. Like, I can put it into my mouth. And it, actually, funny story about my hair. I went to go. So I have a lot of gray hair. I'm like 50%
really?
Gray now.
Really?
Yeah.
Where? Yeah. I can't really.
All over the place. It's probably hard to see on the phone, but like.
Oh,
it's
I like... can see the reflector. Yeah, the reflection. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's like, I've been waiting for gray hair.
Yeah, so I'm super stoked. I'm like probably 40-50% gray. So I went in to get my hair cut, and my hairdresser was like, "You got a lot of gray hair." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm so excited. I just want to be like, 80-90% gray, and like, yeah. I can't wait for it to get there. Like, I'm so excited for it." And she's like, "I mean, we can make that happen if you want."
Oh.
I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Yeah, sure. I can do this thing, and it'll just get there. And because you already have so much gray, it probably won't change much." So I was like, well, yeah, heck yeah. Let's sign me up. So I went in there and she, you know, she put the foil in and she did all the things to my hair. And I was sitting there for like, I don't know, 45 minutes. I don't know if you ever had anything like that done. I've never had anything like that done. So didn't know what to expect. And she, you know, sitting there for like 45 minutes, she pulled the foil off and she was like, oh. And I was like, what? She's like, well, it just kind of like didn't work.
Oh.
I was like, what do you mean? So instead of having gray hair, now I just have like a little bit of lighter brown hair and less gray.
Oh.
It sucks. But it's just
that's
hair. It'll grow. Like it'll, the next couple of cuts, it'll look like nothing happened. So it's not really a big deal.
Well, yeah. That's what I say. It's just hair. And that's why I'm always hacking away at my own hair on the internet. But like, I did get my hair dyed. I dyed my hair once when I was like, I think 12, whenever around Freaky Friday. Remember that movie, Lindsay Lohan and Freaky Friday?
Yeah, I remember that. And also there's like the original one too.
Yeah, yeah. But I loved Lindsay Lohan's hair in that movie. And that's like what I wanted my hair to be like. But my hair was nothing like it was nothing like hers. So I ended up just getting like, I got all these blonde and black streaks, but I reminded myself more of like a calico cat or something. I remember being so like brokenhearted that I just didn't magically have like this like long flowing red hair with these cool chunky black.
Didn't look like Lindsay Lohan
streaks. Yeah. I didn't look like Lindsay Lohan after that. And I was really upset. So, I'm pretty sure that was like the only time that I've had my hair dyed.
Huh. Yeah, it's a strange experience. And at least I can say I've tried it now because, yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't. Women pay too much for their hair and they shouldn't have to. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is weird. And also, it's, like, shouldn't it just be like by the length of hair? And like what
like
kind of treatment? Yeah, I think that's probably, honestly, that's probably like how like the world is moving towards that. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I would hope so. But I think right now everybody's paying for like the reputation of their hairdresser.
Yeah.
You know, like how much clout they have or in the, you know, how much chair clout they have. Is that what it's called in the hairdresser world? Maybe.
Yeah. I have no clue. I can't think of a worse person to ask than me, actually. Yeah. I think the last time I actually got my hair cut was sometime in 2019. And like ever since then, I've been just like, I've literally just been like hacking away at my own bangs for fun. But I was kind of doing that beforehand though too. But I've gotten like more into it because I don't know. I shaved my head when I was 12. And like for like to raise money for cancer research, but there's this part of me that's just like I've always been that way. I'm like, whatever, maybe it will grow back, and if it doesn't, whatever, but if it does, it's there, you know. I just don't, I'm not very precious with my hair.
That's honestly good for you because that's
I don't know.
I feel like not a lot of people have that. Like, I mean, I am somewhat precious with my hair for sure. But I always have been because I used to have really long hair and it was like my thing. And then like, you know, I cut it for the first time because I've had long hair for like 12 years, 13 years. And, I'd never had short sides, but you know, 2015, name one cute guy without, you know, short sides. Can't do it. So, but
you went to the hairdresser and you said, I want the cute guy cut. And
yeah,
they knew what
you
meant.
Give me the cute guy, fam. And they were like, all right.
Fam?
Shorten your sidebar.
You called them fam?
Probably not. No, oh. I don't call anybody fam.
Oh, I thought you
it's
said
like that meme.
Oh, I don't.
You know?
I don't know the meme.
Well, somebody listening will. So
I love that I just had to yell, I don't know the meme, and then there's just this pause and then somebody knocking in the background. Like, I'm just like, nope, no meme knowledge home over here for me.
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh gosh. Yeah, what's your relationship like with the internet these days, speaking of meme?
Oh man, the internet. The internet I've been trying to use mostly just to play games and not read things. It's just disheartening.
Yeah.
My level of narcissism in the last, I would say, 3 years has skyrocketed.
Your level, you kind of cut out for a second there. Your level of internet?
My level of cynicism.
Oh.
The cynic in me has been reborn.
Scorpio.
But
oh, sorry, I just had a little thing in my throat. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Go on.
It's just I don't know, the whole United States politics thing turning into a reality TV show for, 4 years was just something else. And yeah. I mean, you couldn't wake up and go on to any website without seeing something about what was going on down there. And then it just kind of spilled over into Canadian politics. And then it spilled out of politics and into, just regular media and art. And then, and it's like, you can't really avoid it, but you can shut that part of your brain off, I feel like. But it turns you into a mean person when people start talking about it. So it can. So I try and avoid that. And I just try and smile and not. I'm doing it right now.
For the listeners at home, I can confirm Danny Oliver is smiling right now. And he's been holding this one smile for actually quite some time now. Oh, no, still holding it. Oh, now it's gone. Now it's back. Okay.
Oh, man.
People are gonna,
so what about you? Like,
people
what's
are going to love this.
What's your relationship with the internet? Like, that's a strange question because I don't particularly know how to answer it. Like, what's yours? What's yours?
Well, it's complicated. I'm really grateful for for a lot of elements of the internet because I feel like I've been able to like promote a new record from the middle of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
And like that's a positive thing. I feel like I've been able to feel somewhat connected still. And I know that's not the case for everybody, but like for me, I've been able to find like just some, I don't know, sense of community through the internet. And, but I feel like, I don't know, when you live in a rural area, that can just, pandemic or not, can kind of be a part of it. Like, I don't know. I definitely like am like, my partner about a year ago was like, do you really need to be getting like the New York Times headlines emailed to you on the hour or whatever? And I was like, yeah, I do. I really do. I know that there's sometimes I need to step back from news, but I do feel this like, and I haven't fully formed this thought yet, so I'm just working through, but I do feel like a bit of this like social obligation to like know what others are going through. But at sometimes though, I need to like step back from that and just try to unplug a little bit when I can, especially if I'm having heavy stuff in my own life. Cause it's been a lot.
You got to take that time to get yourself right, honestly, because everybody's going through stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody, and just exposing yourself, not even exposing yourself, taking on other people's stuff, not even necessarily being involved as in taking it on, but just like bearing in mind that they're going through it can sometimes be a bit of a burden that you have to step away from for sure.
Yeah.
But everybody's going through stuff. It's just our I feel like our generation especially is, there's less of a stigma around mental health now. So, everybody's going to therapy, which is great. I think everybody, regardless of whether or not they have anything going on, should go to therapy because it's amazing.
Yeah.
and everybody's dealing with their own struggles.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's really important to figure that out for yourself before you worry about other people. But I mean, who knows? Maybe worrying about other people is something that helps too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like trying to think. I'm like, do I worry about other people or am I too self-absorbed? I'm like, how much do I worry about other people? I guess I do. I guess I worry. Like, I think about the state of the world a lot. And I do care about what other people are going through. But I'm just like, you know, like when I think about, like, I don't know how. But what I classified, though, as worrying about others. I don't know. I'm going to think about this for a while. Now, that's an interesting thing to me. So there we go. We did it. And Danny Oliver is smiling again, folks, for the listener at home. Danny Oliver is smiling again.
Okay. Sometimes they're genuine. Okay. I'm not always just putting on a face.
Wait, what? The other ones weren't genuine. I thought you were just happy to talk to your old pal Nash.
Oh, you have to guess. That's the best thing about it. You're just going to have to try and decide which ones are genuine and which ones are like, hey, let's not talk about that. I don't know. No, they're all genuine when I'm talking to mom. 100%.
I was going to say, oh, you know what? I forgot to do over the break. I forgot to call Nick Faye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. To find out who our fifth roommate was.
Yeah. Very, very.
Oh, just call him right now. Call
very,
him on air.
Very important stuff. Let's see if he answers.
Long distance charges apply. To complete the call, please stay on the line.
Oh, I didn't have a one, I guess, in front of the number. Can you hear that, Danny?
I can, yeah.
Let's see if he answers. He might still be at the office. I actually don't know where Nick works. He might be at an office. We'll see. This doesn't feel promising at this point.
No.
Should we leave him I guess he can't hear you because I have headphones on. I was going to say we should leave him a funny message, but...
Yeah, he won't. Yeah, you can. You're funny.
Oh.
Start recording at the tone. When finished, okay. Press the pound key.
Hey, Nick, it's just your old pal Nash and actually Danny Oliver on the line here. And we just wanted to know who our fifth roommate at Folk Alliance in 2015 was. If you could give me a call back in the next 9 minutes, that would be great. No, just kidding.
He needs to know. He needs to know who the other four were.
Oh yeah, Oh, that's a really good point. Danny just reminded me that you need to know who the other people were because you have not been listening to this entire conversation that we've been having. So we know it was you, John, Danny, and I. Who was that fifth person? Okay, hope you're doing well. This is a long voicemail. Sorry about that. This is for the podcast, by the way. Okay, bye. All right. He's gonna love that.
You leave phone messages like you talk to people when you're on stage, and it's amazing.
Well, you know what?
It's literally like you were on stage there.
Some could say I'm just I'm just genuine. Some could say you just get what you get. Some could say I'm unprofessional.
Some.
Hey, I'm just kidding. I'm very professional at being goofy.
Goofy is the perfect word, I think. I enjoy, like, here's the thing that I admire about you and your stage show. So, you know, don't let your head explode right now.
I'm just glad I got this recording, to be honest. Here's my new ringtone. This could be my new ringtone, folks. Just kidding.
No, I've seen just as you've seen a lot of people play, and a lot of people play more than one time. And I've seen artists that have their stage show plotted out from everything that they'll say. They say the same thing every night. Like I can think, I know I'm not going to say his name, but I've seen him play maybe 6-7 times, and he recycles the same. And I mean, it's entertaining. it's definitely entertaining. But what I admire about you, Megan, is that you can go see, you could book a whole weekend. You could book Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You go to those shows every single time, and it will be, regardless of whether you play the same songs, a completely different show. And I think that is just fantastic.
I appreciate you saying that. There's this little negative voice in my head that goes, oh, Danny thinks I'm inconsistent. No, just kidding.
I'm just teasing.
I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, I look forward to the day that we can, you know, play a show together, because I tell you this, it is, there's something inside of me that this pandemic is, you know, like, I think it's kind of, I don't know what the right word is, but I'm just going to go for it and not be as articulate as I would like to be. But I feel like this like pandemic like broke us all a little bit. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. We're all, you know, it's like I'm a little bit like more open because of that. And like I care more than ever, but I also don't. It's like everything's important and it doesn't matter, you know, like, and it just like to live suspended between those truths. And I have gotten even wackier. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's perfect. It's there's a thin line, and yeah, everything's important and also doesn't matter. Hey, I mean the Earth is warming up so fast that maybe we'll all be dead in 20 years or something.
Gosh. And you know what? And you know what, Danny? Greenpeace called me today, and they wanted me to give a donation, and I was like, they do important work. And I was like, I don't have any money right now. So I'm not even donating to Greenpeace right now. So look at me. I'm not doing anything good.
Yeah. I think maybe, you know what? The cynic in me says it's too late. Your donation.
Do you like, but I sometimes though, I know that you jokingly call me mother, but I'm actually not your mom.
No, in all actuality, you're not.
And I do someday like dream, like I really, really want to be a mom. I really want to be a parent. And then, but then there's this other part of me that's just like, oh, but what about the world? What about the planet? Like, what about like, oh, sorry, Danny. I think your hand is over your mic or something. There you go. Now you're back. That's all good.
So like the best possible thing that you could do for a child is give it the gift of not ever being born, type of thing. This into this world, is that the?
So you don't plan on having kids?
Is that no? No.
Yeah, kids. No, kids. It's well. It's you know. I really want to have a kid, but I just wish that the world wasn't. I wish the world was in a better place. You know.
Well, you got to think of the things that you will, you know, your children. It's you know, it's weird. Like what's? I think our next 30 years is pretty uncertain, right? So. You're like, you know, I don't know, our generation can't even buy houses, like,
yeah,
you need like a $90,000 deposit to buy a house. It's like, if this keeps going this way and we don't burn up or freeze to death or whatever, then I don't think our generation is in a position to fix that, right?
Yeah.
So then we will, those kids, just pile, a big old pile, you say, here, scoop through it, you know. And I don't want to do that, but I mean, that's not my main reason for not wanting kids. My main reason is that I want to live my life.
Hey, that's totally fair.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's, I think that's selfish, but it's also, I think, no. The idea of having a child is also selfish. I mean, they're both selfish, I guess.
Yeah, honestly though, like I feel like the level of self-awareness that it takes to be like, no, I don't want to have a kid, and I want to live my life, like I feel like if you knew that, and then yeah, I don't What I'm trying to say is I don't actually think that it is selfish. Like everything you said, it just like, no, that totally makes sense to me. And I totally like, there's this part of me too. Hey, do you know the movie Baby Boom?
With no.
Diane Keaton, a 1987 classic. So in that movie, she gets like a call in the middle of the night and her cousin was in an accident. And then she was told, like, come to the airport. He left you something in his will. And then she goes to the airport and he left his baby to her. And that's how she got a baby. And I've always been like super open to that. Just like getting a baby,
that
like
specific scenario.
Well, no, like, and also like, I don't wish any harm towards my family members. Like, I don't want that at all. But like, if somebody was like, here's a baby, you got to look after this baby, I'd be like, okay. But I've learned that's not how any of the systems in place work, and probably for the best, because, you know,
yeah, for sure.
But yeah. All I'm saying is, like, if somebody, you know, I would like to have a baby. I know. I hear you. It's like the world is not in good shape, and there are so many terrible things happening in the world, but think about the widow's shoes. Think about the widow hats they wear, the widow heads.
Yeah, little taffy leaf ovens. You know, the best baby of the year. And I mean, here's the thing: is that the biological pull for me isn't there as it might be for you. As well, that's another factor, I think, you know. The desire to bear children for women our age is likely a little bit stronger than for men, I think. But I mean, there's a lot of dudes that also want to be
I don't know how like if it's a hormone thing or what, or like if it's a, I don't know how bodies work, and yeah. I don't know who people are, yeah. But I just know that I've always, the pandemic's made me realize how much I want to be a parent. But anyways, I look forward to this airing at like 9 a.m. on CJTR, and someone's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Danny Oliver, yeah. Putting the pep in Ched, folks. No, I'm just giving you a hard time. This has been a lovely conversation, Danny, okay?
Yeah, of course it has been.
Sorry, we have to actually wrap it up, but I got to ask you real quick, what's your favorite snack on the road?
What's my favorite snack on the road? Sour Patch Kids, hands down.
Danny, you're a gem. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Megan.
You know, you just never know where a conversation is gonna take you, you know? Danny, this was a lot of fun, and all the love to you and your dog, Phil. Phil is such a sweetie. Dear listener, you can check out his latest album, For All My Former Lovers, on Spotify. You have been listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with Creative City Centre in Regina, Saskatchewan. The Creative City Centre is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, SaskArts, the City of Regina, Canadian Heritage, and Creative Saskatchewan. This podcast is made possible because of their ongoing support. Special thank you to the Garys for the use of their song Burger Boy as the music that you're listening to right now. The Creative City Center is a community-based art center that used to present around 200 events a year, and they gave a lot of emerging artists a home as they were starting out. Now they are a home for a lot of online productions, so check out creativecitycenter.ca to see what else they're cooking up besides all of this pep and ched with me, Megan Nash. Okay, support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.